You're listening to the Screening in Kingston podcast. For more on Screening in Kingston, more episodes, info about our movie clubs, and a lot more fun movie content, visit screeninginkingston.com.
No time for pleasantries, Taylor. We got to dive right into this.
Yes, it's going to be a contentious episode.
So much going on.
Lots of content. So let's just go for it. Let's do it.
So we've
Where do we start?
Well, okay. So here's what's going on. Just so everyone knows what you're getting yourself into this episode. Because I know some people like to tell us when the reviews start. We're going to be reviewing the most recent Joker trailer that would have dropped about a week ago. But around, like, it dropped when we're recording this, essentially. Yeah. So we're going to review that. We got our lists from last week of It People and Hollywood Stars. And some of our fans wrote in their list of It People and Hollywood Stars, even though this episode, like last week's episode, by the time we're recording this, is like not quite 48 hours old. Like, I think it's just over 24 hours old. So this is an interesting topic for some people because we had
people are passionate. And I guess because they've only had there's such a small turnaround time. If people you can continue to write in your list. Maybe listening to this episode, you think I have more people I want to talk about. So please do. Don't feel like you're limited. This can be an ongoing conversation. Why not?
That's right. If you wrote in after the first, you know, couple days of last week's episode and it's not on this week, we'll read it. Don't worry. Yeah. We'll get there. We have our own list of It People, and we've also got each a movie to review. So there's a lot going on. We need to dive into it. I think we should begin with the It People list, only because it's a direct sort of continuation of last week's discussion. And then we can just cap that, because I feel like that could take the longest. We can cap our time if we start with that, and then review the trailer, and then review the movies that we want to talk about.
And let's face it, if we start with the trailer, we'll talk about it for 40 minutes. And then
we'll
be scrambling.
The entire episode will be dedicated to Joker. So let's force that to be in the middle so we know how much time we have. So let's talk about our lists, because we set the challenge to make our top five It People and top five Hollywood Stars. And just before starting talking off air, we were discussing that, you know, it is, how do you decide who's an It person versus who's a Hollywood star? And I don't know what you did, Taylor, but I came up with a little definition to help me with it.
I really struggled with this, Mike, because it almost diverts a little bit from the bombshell question, because bombshell is like a very specific subset of It person versus movie star. So and then I got thinking, okay, well, what is an It person versus a movie star? So I didn't come up with a definition. So we'll use yours. How's that sound? Or okay, I can share yours and then I can agree or disagree.
Yeah. And I think chances are, like, knowing how things go for us, Taylor, I did not expect this to go like a very fluid way. Like, this is going to be all over the place.
Of course.
Our lists are going to be what they are. People have wrote in. It's going to be pure chaos. I did not expect it to be perfect. But yeah,
with this show.
No, of course not. So I did have to come up with some kind of a definition, because I'm like, okay, what would constitute? So to me, a Hollywood star was easy. People, lots of people, not small amounts of people, lots of people will go to see a movie just because this person's in it. And when we refer to movies that they are working on, we often reference the actor first. The latest, this person's movie, even though a director or a producer or a writer has like more control that it's their movie, we call it, oh, it's this person's movie.
Right.
This person. So that's how I did Hollywood star. And then
I would
person.
Can I just add to that definition?
Yeah. Go ahead.
I would mostly agree. I would add that a Hollywood star also has a little bit of glamour. You know what I mean? Like, there is that added layer of a little bit of, ooh, like, I want to know about that person's life, you know, there's that glamour piece. Yeah. So that's what I'm thinking of, old school Hollywood star.
Sure.
There was just a little bit more classiness to it.
Yes. Okay. Yes. I agree. And I think my list more or less does that, except for maybe one person, but we'll talk about it. Okay. And then for it people, it was like, my definition for that, I tried to be kind of as clear, but it also addresses your bombshell comment. So to me, to be on the it person list, you have to be in the viewpoint. I took kind of a page from your list. You have to be in the public eye,
yes,
a lot and constantly, whether it be magazines, social media, like you're out there and people really want to know and talk about the person's life more so than them as a star. Everything
personality.
About them, personality, what first, they wear, who they're dating, all those things are like the it person, and love them or hate them. Because there's one person on my list that I want to talk about, because it's like, love them or hate them, we're talking about them. Because there's sometimes some negativity to one person, but we'll discuss it.
I definitely think it's a love or hate them. You can be an it person and not well liked. I think you're in the tabloids, you're splashed across the pages of our social media. And I think there's a youth element to
yes,
it.
Yes, I would agree.
I think sometimes an it person can have longevity in their career, but not always. And that sometimes it's personality over that's substance. Right.
Yes, and I agree. And I would say the youth element especially. Like the five people I picked are all younger stars, because that's also, to me, to be an it person, it's like the younger generation, the people who basically control the what gets out on social media because of the algorithm, that they have to be at the forefront. So,
and I think an it person can become a movie star.
That's right.
But not always, not necessarily yet.
And yes. I think, to kind of answer your question, so my list, because I did my list 1 to 5. So the number one person to me is the current bombshell. Like, that's what I say. If you're number one, that's right. The thing. Like that, you've made it. You're the person. And then I ordered it 2, 3, 4, 5. Like I went down. So I did the same with Hollywood stars. I'm like 1 to 5, 1 to 5. And then for Hollywood stars, I also have 3 honorable mentions.
But okay.
We'll talk about that. Other people, I don't know what they ordered their list. Like, we'll have to go through them, but we have some fan things. We'll go through that as well. But I think, Taylor, I think you and I should go through our list first, and then we'll hear from the fans. What do you think?
Okay. I didn't, as always, we wrote our list differently. I did not rank mine.
Of course. And I didn't think you would. You never rank. Anytime I'm like, we're going to come up with a top 5 list, I assume we're ranking them, and you never do. You just come up with 5.
Always vibes. Always on vibes. You start, Mike, because you did rank yours.
All right. So shall we start with it people then?
Yeah.
Move up the ladder and start with it people? Okay. So what do you want me to do? 1 to 5 or 5 to 1?
Let's build up the anticipation to the number one it person. So start at the bottom and work your way up.
Okay, 5's going to be real controversial. I'm going to throw that out right now. So number 5, I put Rachel Zegler, who was in West Side Story and has done a few different things. Go ahead.
And will be in Snow White.
Will be in Snow White. Has done a few other like various projects. Like she's had a handful of films. But young star has a lot to say about a lot of things. So she gets in the news a lot. She's number 5 on the list for a reason, because I feel like she's only like just getting on there. Like you kind of have to climb the list. And I feel like she's kind of at the sort of bottom row. It was between her and Jenna Ortega. And I went with Rachel Zegler.
Ooh, Jenna Ortega. Is that how you pronounce her last name?
Ortega,
very
yeah.
good pick. Very
yeah, like
good
it was,
pick.
It was, to me, it was tied between the two of them to be the number 5 spot, because I was like, okay, Jenna Ortega just came off of Wednesday. But aside from Wednesday, she hasn't done anything else that's big enough yet. I know she's got a couple movies coming out in the next couple of years that will be big. So
she's
I was like,
well,
Rachel.
She's going to be in Miller's Girl, which is already getting lots of controversy because of the age gap between her and the male lead.
I mean, it's acting. People get over it.
And also, she's an adult.
Yeah, she's also an adult.
Is she not in her 20s?
There's many reasons why that's so stupid, but it's, you know how controversy works. It doesn't really matter.
But it girl status. She's stirring the pot.
But she, to me, would be number six because the Rachel Zegler stuff's been going on longer. She was just in Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Like, she's talked about a lot more. So that's why it was like Jenna Ortega would have been six, and it's Rachel Zegler at number five.
Okay.
Number four, Millie Bobby Brown.
Mike, you're good at this.
I did my research. I thought really hard about this. Also, Taylor, I have to say, and I'll throw this out there. It was much more difficult to put a male on this list. Like, it was really hard.
You know what's funny? Mine's predominantly male.
Yeah, I think that's just... I've got one male on this list, but I think it makes sense. But to me, like, Millie Bobby Brown, she, like, has now moved out of that, like, child actor phase, right? She's also, I believe she's in her early 20s now. Like, she's also a little bit older.
Yeah, 20, maybe.
Yeah, and she's still got Stranger Things, but she's got all these other films she's doing. She's a big hit amongst teens, especially, it seems. And also, she kind of has a quirky personality, so gets a lot of like memes and a lot of like videos. And apparently she's a big when it comes to like all these reels and stuff that people share, clips of her videos and things that she says and does. So Millie Bobby Brown to me is number four on It People.
Okay.
Now 3, 2, and 1, I think are also like pretty much like one to me is number one, but 3, 2, and 3 could be interchangeable a little bit, but number three, Timothy Chalamet, I put him on here.
He's on my list too.
So I was like, okay, is he a movie star? I would still say not yet. I think amongst a certain crowd, but when you look at certain crowds, it's like, okay, to me, a Hollywood star transcends like gender and interest and like just finding someone attractive. Like, I think a lot of like teens go to see Timothy Chalamet. Like, that's what I think happens. And I'm only basing that off my own bias of, like, I've seen 2 Timothée Chalamet movies recently and, like, looked around and it's like, I'm the oldest one here. Right? And it's just, I think he appeals to a very specific generation. I think he's on the cusp. Yeah. I think he's on the cusp. If he does 1 or 2 more hit movies, he might move up the list. He might become a Hollywood star, but to me, he's still an it person.
I think it goes back to our conversation about the weird casting with Wonka and how I don't really see him as a mainstream, quote unquote, blockbuster actor. I know Dune, it was a blockbuster.
He's very good in Dune. He is very good in Dune.
And I'm not saying it's not because he's not a good actor. That has nothing to do with it. It's just he's been doing a lot more smaller indie movies. And even Dune is like a very specific genre movie. So yeah,
it is.
It will be interesting. Will he be in like a romantic drama in a couple years? I don't know.
That's the question. Number two, Zendaya. So I still think Zendaya is not quite a Hollywood star yet because I don't know over a certain age if people would know who Zendaya is. Like, I still think she's getting there. She's got that crazy tennis movie that comes out later that looks absolutely wild. And I bet you, like, to me, she's in that transition period where instead of just doing Spider-Man and Euphoria and Dune, she's going to transition into, oh, this is like a psychological romance twisted movie. So I think she's getting there. And that's why she's also number two. Like, I feel like she'll be a Hollywood star in like a year or two. But right now, I've still got her under as it. So Zendaya's number two. And then number one, Sydney Sweeney. I mean,
yes, the much talked about.
Yeah, I think number one, I think it's so clear. To me, that's just, it's not even up for debate, in my opinion. I think she's number one. So there you go. That's my list.
Totally, totally makes sense. Sydney Sweeney obviously is on my list. I'll do my it people and then we can...
Yeah.
Go back for you to do your stars. I also had Timothy Chalamet. I think, like you said, I think he could be he is kind of a chameleon. It's hard to pin him down. I almost want to say, like, is he a character actor? No, like, he is a leading man, but And I think he's a great actor, but I don't know if it's because he's young. And when you look up his age, I don't even think he's that young. I think he might already be in his 30s.
But you're not putting him in the same roles as you would, like, a lot of leading men at the moment. Like, I just don't think he fits.
Like, he can't, like, I don't see him as an action star. He's almost like an actor's actor, but that doesn't translate to movie star. You know what I mean?
Like, that would be a third list.
Yeah, the like
best actors.
Yeah, like Joaquin Phoenix, one of my favorite actors, isn't a movie star. You know what I mean?
Right.
No. So, anyways, that's why he's on my list. He's a bit of an enigma to me. This is an interesting one, only because we've talked about her a lot, and she. I don't know if she acts in movies, but she certainly acts in television, and she's known for her music career. Selena Gomez.
She's one of the most followed persons
on social media. She's always in feuds with other celebrities. People seem to really like her personality. To me, she's an it girl. And then hold on, my phone just went to sleep. And then my last two, kind of in the same cohort, Jacob Elordi, is that how you pronounce his last name? From Euphoria.
Oh,
from
yeah.
Priscilla. Yes, he was in Saltburn. Austin Butler.
Wait, so you got Austin Butler,
yep.
Jacob Elordi, Timothy yep. Chalamet.
Yep. And then Sydney Sweeney and Selena Gomez.
Okay, interesting. Okay.
But I think Austin Butler he was really great in Elvis. That's the only thing I've seen him in. He is a child actor. He's in Dune.
Yeah, they're all in Dune. All the it people are in Dune.
It's like the It movie, right? I think Austin Butler has the ability to translate to movie stardom. But again, he's on kind of that cusp. We'll see if his career has the longevity, right? Especially because Elvis was so hyped. He's quite handsome. He's being put in although in Dune, they like shaved his eyebrows and didn't play up his good looks. They definitely made him look.
He's playing like a very specific
villain,
like species villain thing. Yeah, he was very good in it.
And then Jacob Elordi, or however you say his last name, in Saltburn, he has said some controversial things in the media. He seems to be all over the place. Clearly, Euphoria has been a vehicle for a lot of young, quote unquote, Hollywood, young Hollywood it actors. So I think the true test will be time, right? Like, are these young people in their 20s and 30s, are they going to be able to translate into a lasting career that sort of in a way, movie stars are kind of bigger than life, right? Like, are they going to become bigger than life? I don't know. Yeah. It's to be determined.
Yeah, which is really, I think you bring up a good point there. Like, for Hollywood stars, that's really what I put them in. Like, they just seem larger than life. And their name really does sell what they're kind of doing. And to me, an it person could go that route. They could go the acting
route. Or fizzle out,
like you said, there's the longevity there. They could stay the much talked about person for a long period of time. Like, that is, with social media and stuff, like, that's like very possible. But you can also, like, you see it, like Jennifer Lawrence in The Disappearing Act. Like, she essentially disappeared for like a period of time, right? And that changes kind of the dynamic there. So yeah, that's pretty good. Okay, let's get the Hollywood stars out here. So yeah, I have a lot of honorable mentions that didn't make it because this list was a lot bigger. So I've got five here. Taylor, you're not going to like some of these. right off the bat, number five, going again, five down to one. Number five on my list is Scarlett Johansson.
ScarJo.
So I think aside from the fact that she's been in all the Marvel movies.
An it girl that became a movie star
because she... There was so much I've ever heard of, like, oh, if you like a female led action movie, the only ones that work are with Scarlett Johansson. You got to go get Scarlett Johansson. She had a couple like hits and a couple misses in a row, but she was in a lot of stuff for a long period of time. And I still think she can bring in a relatively big crowd. And I've got her number five here because even doing smaller films like Jojo Rabbit and things like, that movie was such a low budget thing. And because of the star power of her and a few others, it did get elevated. Like they will even admit that. Taika Waititi admits that, that some of the casting helped elevate his film, Sam Rockwell as well, to kind of going up and being seen by multiple people. And then it got nominations and stuff like that. So Scarlett Johansson's number five. Number four, Ryan Reynolds.
No, not a movie star.
Mark, you don't think so? No. I don't think he's an actor, but I think he's a movie star. I think everything he touches in marketing does really well. They throw him in all these movies where he did this weird movie on Netflix that ended up doing really well. He did that movie about being inside the video game that ended up doing really well. He's Deadpool.
You're right. I have to remember that the movie star doesn't necessarily have to be like an Oscar winner.
No. It's and like, I got to tell you, number one and two on my list are not, but they're names, right? Like they're not Oscar winners. These aren't actors. That would be a separate list. If it was actors, that would be like list three, because this is just star power. If you put Ryan Reynolds' name on something, people will go see it. It will.
Yeah,
it will,
that's fair.
Sold. So to me, he's a star. Number three, Margot Robbie. I think she definitely draws a crowd. I think her name brings in a lot of things. She also like chooses projects that end up getting a lot of people talking about them. I don't know if it's necessarily her or the project she chooses, but like even when something misses, like Babylon, the one thing people were talking about was her. Right. So I think to me, Margot Robbie is a star and is number three. Number two, The Rock.
He's on my list.
Absolutely brings in a crowd. Everything he
is
does.
Is he not the highest paid actor right now?
I believe he's the highest paid actor. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you put his name on a movie and people go see it regardless of what it is. The movie could be literally anything. And the first thing you see is, oh, The Rock's in it. Which brings me to my point of number one, which is talk about longevity. Because I think this person's been a Hollywood star for a long time. Tom Cruise.
Yeah, I added him last minute.
Yeah, Tom. I don't think you can put a Hollywood star list together without putting Tom Cruise. Not if you're being like realistic to box office numbers, to big scale movies, to the types of movies that they're in, to just like the universal appeal. Because you got to remember, Taylor, and what happens often is you and me and people would bring on the show and people would talk to you. Like we silo ourselves because we're like nerdy about film. The people who just go to see movies on a general basis, they're going to see Tom Cruise, The Rock.
Yeah. Right? Like that's and The Rock.
And The Rock. So that's my top five. I want to quickly throw in my honorable mentions.
Sure.
In case they're on your list, because I was considering all these people. Chris Pratt
was but that's a good one.
Potential list. Ryan Gosling.
Yeah. He's kind of on my list.
Jennifer Lawrence, but I dropped her off because she did disappear. Like this was a list from 3 or 4 years ago. She would have been on it. Because she was in so many things. Yeah. So Jennifer Lawrence. And then I threw on here, just as a throwback, Liam Neeson. Because I will still tell you, even though he does a lot of streaming stuff now, his stuff gets watched a lot because he's in it, regardless of what it is. People just want to see Liam Neeson doing something. So he was kind of being considered, but didn't make it on the list. So there you go. Those are my Hollywood star list. Taylor, what's your list?
The Rock.
Yeah.
Sandra Bullock.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know.
That's a really good one. That's a good
one. Yeah. I don't know if she's released any. Some of these are, I would say, like, I don't know. I couldn't name a recent movie by her, but this is a name. Like, you say Sandra Bullock, and people are like, yeah, even if they don't watch movies. Yeah, I've heard of Sandra Bullock. Like, I know who that is. Nicole Kidman.
Interesting.
Also, in the same vein. And I also think she has a little bit of that glamour. You know, she was tied with Tom Cruise and now she's with that country music star, so like she has that kind of public persona people are interested in. She can do big movies and small movies, and she's been acting for a long time. I added Tom Cruise on the list, and then I want to add sort of like an up-and-coming person who maybe isn't a full-on movie star yet, but I think is on the right trajectory. And so I'm torn. Margot Robbie was on my list, but she's more of an honorable mention. I'm torn between Florence Pugh and Anya Taylor-Joy.
Yeah, I did think about Anya Taylor-Joy for a second because she definitely, I thought,
was also in there, Dune.
Also in Dune.
And Florence Pugh
also in Dune. But again, I think to me, Florence Pugh and Anya Taylor-Joy are sort of transitioning from it people to, like, honestly, I'd even skip Hollywood stars and say, like, they're actors. Because they are choosing roles that are, like, acting heavy. Like, most of Florence Pugh's stuff, I would say, are, like, relatively acting heavy things. And Anya Taylor-Joy is starting to do that, too. Like, that Last Night in Soho movie that she did, and, like, a bunch of other things. She's really choosing, like, The Witch, that movie about the chef, The Menu, that's what it's called.
Yep.
She's really choosing these kind of, like, weird out there movies. And even her role in Dune is, like, super specific. So I think that, like, yeah, to me, they're those up-and-coming actors where you're kind
of interested to see where they're less the traditional blockbuster. And again, I know people are going to come for me. I know Dune is a blockbuster, but it's a genre blockbuster. It's not same kind of blockbuster that Nicole Kidman and Tom Cruise are in.
No. It's a genre one.
So for that reason, I'll yield to you, Mike, and say Margot Robbie because she's in more quote unquote mainstream. Yeah.
That was kind of the thing that separated for me.
Yeah.
Because Anya Taylor-Joy makes total sense. But again, if we were doing a third list that was like actors with like the pedigree and the talent and the skill, Anya Taylor-Joy and Florence Pugh would be on my list probably. Like in terms of, or right there. They would be like on the cusp of joining that list.
Yeah, totally.
Let's hear from some fans to just kind of end the conversation with like what they thought. Because we did get quite a few emails about it. First of all, I mean, I'm not going to, well, if we have time later, I'll come back to this full email. But Nicole has emailed in, who hasn't emailed in a while, friend of Taylor, friend of show. Yes. Nicole says, hello, Taylor and Mike. It's been a minute. Mike, I saw Immaculate last week and as well. And I agree with you that a lot of what you said. How is this for a wild fact? Sydney Sweeney auditioned for this film in 2014 when she was 17. But the project never materialized. Years later, she took on the role of producer and reached out to the writer, acquired and revised the script, hired a director, found financers, and sold the film to Neon, the production company. Sydney Sweeney did all that by herself.
She truly is the it girl.
I was like, wow, that's like not a lot of people can do that.
No, good for her.
So yeah, there you go. Nicole has a couple things to say about Immaculate, but we'll get to that either at the end of this episode if we have time or next week. So she said that she's got her contribution to these lists. So the It People list. So she's saying these are people for It People. These are people who've been everywhere. And she put 6 instead of 5, whatever. which I'm like, yeah, that's a Nicole and Taylor move. So the first one is interesting. I need to look up how to say her name. Ael Imbrardi? She just recently hosted SNL. She was in The Bear, Bottoms, Abbott Elementary. She's been in a bunch of stuff. Yeah. And I know I've seen her name different places. I will look up how to say that. Zendaya?
Yep.
Jeremy Allen White. I don't know who that is.
He's in The Bear also.
Oh, he's in The Bear also. Okay,
he's the lead.
Very popular.
He's just been attached to the, I saw today, he's been attached to the new biopic about Bruce Springsteen.
Okay.
The singer. Mike's like, I mentioned music and Mike has no idea.
Bruce Springsteen. Yes, I know who Bruce Springsteen is. Dakota Johnson. That's an interesting.
That's, you know what? Fair enough. She definitely is more style than substance.
Yeah. Sydney Sweeney, obviously. And she's got Renee Rapp on this list.
Is she
certainly certainly in the past, like, year, she's been all over the place. But, yeah, I don't know.
To be fair, she is probably in projects aside from the Mean Girls. And I know she is on Broadway. So maybe she's in projects I don't know about, but I think she needs a little bit more. She was like the the red carpet, the press tour, but she was being so torn apart on the press tour. I wouldn't consider that it girl status. That's more like, ooh, you're getting attention for the wrong reasons.
And then,
I don't know. Yeah,
and
sorry,
then her movie star list is also in no particular order, but they've been on TV and movie screens for a long time and consistently. And again, she adds, I put six, whatever. Ryan Reynolds.
Okay.
Margot Robbie.
Yeah.
Emma Stone.
Good. That's a good one.
I mean, I would consider Emma Stone an actor, but maybe she does bring in a crowd. Barry Keoghan.
From Saltburn.
Oh, Saltburn, right. Jennifer Lawrence and Joaquin Phoenix, who you already dismissed.
I think he's not the same type.
I think he's an actor. Like,
yeah,
he's
that's
like,
how. Yeah, that's how
you go you go to him for the gravitas of the performance.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
there's an argument to be made. Next list comes from Akhil. So Akhil has a list. So Akhil's it people: Sydney Sweeney, Jenna Ortega, Letitia Wright, Anya Taylor-Joy, and Austin Butler. So a
lot of overlap.
A couple overlap there. Hollywood stars. He has Denzel Washington.
That's a good one.
Tom Cruise. Emily Blunt.
Yeah.
Florence Pugh and Zendaya. So he's got Zendaya on the stars.
Okay. Might be jumping the gun on that one.
A little bit. I think that's a little premature. And then this list comes from Merve, I think is how you say this name. Merve. It people. Anya Taylor-Joy, Zendaya, Timothy Chalamet, Sydney Sweeney, and Blake Lively, which is interesting.
But she's been acting so long, that's kind of sad for Blake Lively that she's still in the it girl category.
Yeah, I guess
but
so, yeah.
I definitely don't consider her a movie star.
No, I wouldn't say she's a movie star either. And then stars, Zendaya, Meryl Streep, which I still think that's more actor-sided.
Yeah.
But Tom Holland, Ryan Reynolds, and Robert Downey Jr.
Robert Downey Jr. is probably a good one. Tom Holland, I think, is on the cusp. He's like in the Zendaya category. I want to give him a little while to mature and see where his career goes.
Yeah, I agree. And then this last one from Allie, who just sent in Hollywood stars list. So her stars list are The Rock, Tom Cruise, Chris Pratt, Emily Blunt, and Margot Robbie. So the second person to have Emily Blunt, which is interesting.
I buy that. I think, you know, it's surprising. There was a lot of overlap. There was no one where I was like, that's so wrong. You know what I mean? I think.
Yeah. A couple people I think were a little miscast in there. But yes, I get what you're saying. Like, it's not, not outrageous. Yeah, yeah. And it's not outrageous, right? Yeah. Like, it's that type of thing.
That's
but there you go. That's our discussion on our it people and our Hollywood stars. So there you have it. We've got a trailer to review here because the Joker dropped its first kind of full trailer. Taylor, you and I have watched it.
Yes.
Now we're going to talk about it. So
just real quick, Mike, shout out to Nicole. She texted me the teaser to the trailer. You got to hand it. It's Todd Phillips, right, who's directing.
That's
been very good at dropping little Easter eggs. And I don't know a lot of directors who are that involved in the marketing. I could be wrong. But I feel like more than normal, he is been dropping things and giving hints and screenshots or whatever. So he teased saying, you know, trailer later tonight. And Nicole sent me the link and said, where's the music? because as longtime listeners of the show will know, and if you're not living under a rock, you'll know this, the new movie, The Joker 2, is slated as a musical. So anyways, thanks to Nicole for bringing it to our attention that the full trailer is out now. And Mike, where's the music?
That is question number one, because it's definitely not clear that it's
a musical.
You can
definitely see where the musical cues are coming in. Like, there's definitely scenes in the trailer where you're like, that's going to be a musical number. That's going to be a musical number. But why not? And again, I feel like a broken record. I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. Why do we keep having this discussion? Why are the studios or the people in charge of the trailers, why are they not adding the musical numbers to the trailers? I don't get it. I don't understand.
I think people are so convinced, and when I say people, the producers or the people doing marketing, that a trailer with a musical, they just can't sell.
But Mike, we've known pretty much essentially since we've known that there was going to be a sequel, very shortly after the title was revealed, they said it was going to be a musical. So what, 2 or 3 years we've known that this is going to be a musical. It will. So, you have to be under a rock to not know Joker 2 is a musical.
So, right. But you and I know that. True. And listeners of this show know that.
True.
And people who maybe listen to movie podcasts or are online or have know that. But like John Smith, who goes to the movies a couple times a year with like family or friends or whatever, who's busy working, I guess, for a living, they don't know.
Fair.
And the thing is that I think we always forget, you and I, like Taylor and Mike, we don't keep the movie industry afloat. Like movie fans and hardcore movie lovers, we do not keep this industry afloat. It is everybody else who goes. When you have billion-dollar movies, it's because it grabbed the attention of random people who just go to see movies and don't talk about it all the time. That's why. So I think there's this idea out there that I don't know if it's true or not, but the idea is a musical will not sell enough. We can't get enough butts and seats to recoup the money of this movie. Taylor, looks like it cost a lot of money. Like this is a $200 million movie, easy.
It looks
they
slick.
Need to recoup those costs. So that's what I don't know if it's right or wrong, but that's the reasoning. That's why they're doing it. I don't know if it's like, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if it's going to work, but yeah, that's the reason.
The other big reveal, and this is in my mind a little bit of a spoiler for Batman fans, but I'm just going to say it because it's literally in the first trailer.
Then Harley, it's not a spoiler.
Yeah, it can't, you know.
Yeah.
Harley Quinn is a patient at Arkham Asylum, not a doctor, which I think is going to upset hardcore fans.
Yes, because she traditionally was working there and then had her own mental issues and then basically ends up falling for the Joker.
I should say, though, to be fair, we don't know how she ended up as a patient. She may very well have been a doctor and then become a patient.
They could have just played around the timeline kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. But, and I guess, you know, this is Joker without being Joker anyways, so they're really taking liberties, which again, it's like, why is this even Joker IP, considering how many changes they've made? But I thought that was kind of like, oh, interesting take. I will say, Mike, and I know the more you hear about this movie, the less you want to see it. The trailer, all forgetting Joker 1 and like forgetting the discourse based on this trailer, I'm going to say it. It looks good.
Yeah, like it looks.
But I thought that with Joker 1. I thought.
Yeah, it looks. It's a well cut trailer. It's good. It's a well marketed thing so far. It definitely looks, similar to the first Joker, but clearly expanded and different. Like it looks like a true continuation. That's kind of why I'm like, yeah, the trailer looks good. I can say that, but I still don't think the movie's going to be any good. But I also didn't like the first Joker movie. So yeah, if you were a fan of the first Joker movie, you're probably pretty happy with what you're seeing so far and pretty excited. But again, the thing I would fear is that you don't know that it's a musical with 16 plus numbers or whatever that's in it. Like it just seems, I don't know why they're trying to trick people or what exactly they think they're going to gain from that. I still don't understand why you think musicals can't sell. Just make a good movie. Be proud of the work you do. But again, we'll see, right? Like I'm sure people are excited by this. It looked, looked interesting. I'm not sold on the casting of Lady Gaga. I'm just not sold on her playing this role. But again, I could be wrong. We'll see. I'm sure I'll have to see it and review it. So
I'm planning on seeing it, Mike. I'll take this one for the team. One last thought I had watching the trailer, and I think we've talked about it on the show, speculating how are they going to make the musical numbers work. I get the sense that they are going to do it I'm going to reserve judgment. It seems a little lazy from a storytelling point of view, but it looks like the musical numbers are going to happen within the context of like their delusions, if that makes sense.
Yes, that's the way they're going to like justify it or make it work. Yeah.
Yeah. When it's like, just make it a musical. Don't be cowards. Just rip off the Band-Aid and make it a real musical. But we'll see. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But I don't disagree with what you're saying, just in terms of it definitely looks good. It was well cut. It was well put together. Whether or not it's going to live up to it, I don't know. This seems like such an odd choice for the direction to go, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. Taylor, we've got some movies to review. Yep. You saw something that I literally have never heard of, which often happens. And I saw Monkey Man, a movie you've never heard of. So let's dive into it. I'm going to talk about Monkey Man first.
What a name.
Yeah. It's really
what I call George.
Well, considering I saw this movie, that's really funny. So Monkey Man is essentially, it's Dev Patel. It's his first directorial effort. He directed this. He wrote, I think, part of it, and he stars in it. The thing you hate. I guess he really, really wanted to tell this story. It's essentially, so it's marketed one way, but it's not that. Like, it's kind of marketed as almost like a John Wick kind of thing, like a revenge movie, which it is. Like, it definitely is a revenge movie, but it's way more focused on kind of him and the lore of this monkey man and how, what it means for like his culture. Like, he's from India, and I'm pretty sure that everything with this kind of monkey is connected to this. I think it's real. I don't know, but I think it's real. That talking about this mythology of this monkey and this sort of monkey man who, you know, did something and what have you. And he's sort of like a fighter of the people kind of thing. So Dev Patel's character is kind of this down on his, well, it seems like down on his luck guy, but he's going after someone for some reason that you don't know. And the movie is all about us exploring why is he so bent on seeking revenge on this person. And the movie does a pretty good job of like kind of slowly giving you the reasons, slowly explaining what happened in his life, explaining why he is acting the way he is, why he's going after this person, why he's putting basically everything into it. He's basically someone who is this street fighter in the evening for money, where he goes and purposely loses to win money. Like, he'll throw matches and have people he knows bet on it and take a cut from it. And he's doing this in order to get enough money to buy a weapon in order to go seek revenge. Like, he has no money.
If he's
a
skilled street fighter, why can't he just kung fu him to death? Why can't
so
he just
he's like a competent okay fighter at the beginning, and this movie essentially has him, something happens kind of about a half hour into the movie, and he has to train and get better and get build back up to a point where he can get to the person he wants to.
Okay.
So he kind of starts out as like an okay competent fighter and becomes much better, and he wears a monkey mask and kind of takes on this persona of this monkey man, which is a story he heard from his mother as a child, like everything about this monkey man. So it kind of makes it seem like it's a very like John Wick revenge thing. He goes around and beating people up, but there's essentially like a big action scene at the beginning, and then a long time of nothing, and then the last half hour is the action again. So I would just like warn people that it's not exactly the next John Wick.
It's more like a character piece than a action movie.
I would say so, and it's really like heavy and steeped in more the drama of this character. It had moments that were really good, and then it had other moments where I'm like, how long can we keep the camera just staring? It's like it was parked on Dev Patel's face as he looked off into the distance. And we did this so much for so long. It's like, okay, can you just do anything? Like anything else? It was such an odd film. Like, it was very ambitious for someone's first time directing.
Baby director.
That was weird. Yeah. And you're biting off a little bit more than you can chew. It's also like you're trying to tell different stories. You're learning the craft. There was enough in this movie that I'm interested to see more from him. Like, I wouldn't have a problem seeing his next film. And like, I want to see what he does as a director. I already think he's a good actor. I thought he was really good in this role, but the movie itself had a lot of odd directions it went in, a lot of strange moments. There's a lot of cheating with the camera work where you would do like shaky cam in the action. And it felt really out of place with the rest of the movie. It was almost like two cinematographers were involved, where one person was like, let's be stoic and careful and like take our time and like, you know, be very like gentle with the camera and move smoothly. And then the other one was like, but shaky cam. We got to shaky cam the fights and shaky cam. Because there's a few moments where you can feel the hits and the impact and the fight choreography was really good. But then they'll like shaky cam through a few more fights. And it's like, okay, you're doing this so we, I guess, miss things. But it's a little unnerving. Like it was a little bit of a roller coaster, which doesn't work.
Did you see this in theaters or streaming?
Oh, in theaters. Yeah, no.
I have not heard anything about this movie.
Yeah, it just opened. I mean, I had heard a few little things here and there. It was kind of the only new thing that opened, so I thought I'd go check it out. It was the best I can describe it is it was all right. Like it was fine. I do think with a more experienced director, this might have gone a bit of a different route. I think Dev Patel in the main role absolutely makes sense to me. It's clearly a story like he was really passionate about and wanted to tell.
And he's a good actor.
Oh, very good actor. And he pulls it off. Like, I wouldn't replace him. I would just say like, oh, maybe you can be a producer and maybe you're working with a second unit directing and you're learning the craft. But with a more skilled director, I think the movie just would have been smoother and would have been a little bit better. So I'm going to give it a stream it. I don't think it was quite good enough to say like, hey, go out and see it. But it's the type of movie that if you don't mind a little bit of action, a little bit of gore, but more of a like heavier character drama with bits of action and bits of moment, you'll probably enjoy the movie. So yeah, I'm going to give Monkey Man a stream it.
So I saw Ricky Stenicki.
Which I've never heard of. Like I hadn't even look it up. Like I had no idea. This is
an Amazon movie. I forgot to mention last week when I was reviewing Roadhouse, it looks like Amazon has acquired MGM Studios. I have no idea when that merger or that acquisition went down, but I'm wondering if Roadhouse and... Well, no, because I read the article on air that there was controversy about whether or not Roadhouse would ever be released in theaters. And apparently the production company's like, no, it was always going to go to streaming. So I don't really know anything about this Amazon MGM Studios merger. It sounds like you don't know anything about it either.
No, I didn't know about it.
I just find it interesting. Like all of these media conglomerates just kind of overlapping and that's the world we live in. Anyways, so Ricky Stenicki, I don't know where I would have seen... I've never seen a trailer for it, but I definitely saw promotion for it. It might have been before another Amazon movie. It might have been on Instagram. I'm not sure. So anyways, like you, Mike, there wasn't a lot being released to streaming this past weekend. So I thought, okay, I'll try Ricky Stanicky. I'm in the mood for a comedy. So this is a comedy starring John Cena and Zac Efron. And then a bunch of people I don't recognize. But maybe you've heard these people. Andrew Santino.
No.
Familiar, not familiar.
No, not
Jermaine
familiar.
Fowler. Those are like the two other buddies. And then weirdly, I thought this was a little weird. William H. Macy.
Oh.
Was in it. He plays the boss. So the premise of this movie is that it opens I want to say in the 90s, if I'm remembering correctly. It opens in the 90s, Halloween night, and these three best friends play a prank that goes horribly, horribly, horribly wrong. And so one of them gets the idea, okay, we'll leave a jacket and we'll write the name of another kid in the jacket. And that's like, that's the kid who did the prank, right? The kid's name is Ricky Stanicky. And so their whole lives into their adulthood, they're now in their 30s. If they need a scapegoat or if they need an out or if they want to, go to an event but not tell their partners about it, they blame it on Ricky Stanicky. So through some comedy of errors, I guess you could say, or you know, through some events of the movie, they essentially have to prove Ricky Stanicky is real. And so
wait, why? So, is that a spoiler?
I mean it's a stupid comedy. I don't think it's a spoiler. So
okay.
They're at the very beginning of the movie, they say, oh, it's JT, who's played by Andrew Santino, whoever he is. His wife is having a baby shower thrown by Zac Efron's character's girlfriend. Okay. And they're like, oh no, like Ricky Stanicky's cancer has come back. And they're like, oh no, like you should go to Albany to be with him. And so they use that as a cover to go to New Jersey to go to a concert.
Right.
And so then during that concert, the wife gives birth. And so the mother-in-law was like, you need to prove Ricky Stanicky's real. Like you missed your own child's birth. So why don't you invite Ricky Stanicky to the brisk? That's what I think it's, you know, a Jewish circumcision.
Right. Yeah.
So anyways, that's how they had met John Cena's character, Ricky Stanicky, although his name's Rod before he becomes Ricky Stanicky. He's a down on his luck actor, whatever. And so Zac Efron hires him for the weekend.
That's hilarious.
So here's the thing, Mike. It's a really great setup. That is a funny story. Like you have to, and it's kind of that it's a little bit of a trope. It happened in Yes Men, you know, like the guys don't have friends, so he has to hire someone, or he doesn't have a best man, so he has to hire the best, whatever, to cover for the fact, whatever. So it's a good premise. I will say John Cena has very good comedic timing. I haven't seen him in a lot, if anything. I think I've seen him in one movie where he was kind of more like a cameo, and he has a very main comedic role in this movie. He's quite good. Zac Efron holds its own. I wouldn't say Zac Efron is the best. No, that's a lie. Zac Efron holds its own. I haven't seen him in any sort of drama. He was in that wrestling movie that got a lot of buzz, and apparently he was phenomenal in that. I would say Zac Efron has good comedic timing. He certainly does fine in a comedic movie. The problem with this movie is that it felt like AI wrote the script. And someone made that joke online about the Lindsay Lohan movie I reviewed a couple weeks ago, The Irish Wish, where it felt like AI spit the script out just because it was so many romantic comedy tropes. There was just like lines in this movie, and I don't even think it was the actor's delivery. There was just lines in this movie where you knew it was supposed to be a joke, but you're like, that's not even remotely funny. That it just, there were maybe one or two moments where I might have laughed and it was more like at a situation. But absolutely dismal script. And it didn't help that Zac Efron and John Cena, I would say, you know, in the grand scheme of are they movie stars, are they it people, they're kind of that middle of the line. They're dependable actors, you know what I mean? And then you have this like no-name cast where you're like, what? Like, what is this? Who is this movie for? It definitely is kind of a throwback to those like gross out comedies, like a Judd Apatow sort of gross out comedy. And I like those movies. I like a gross out humor. And I was looking forward to kind of having a breezy, turn my brain off, whatever movie. And just the script was dismal. I thought last week Roadhouse was bad. This movie, Mike.
Now, Taylor, you got to remember, we had a big strike over giving people more pay to write movies.
We upped their pay so they can put things like Ricky Stenicki out. It was just stupid, but not even in a... I like stupid comedy. I like gross out humor. It wasn't that. It was just the script was so bad. And I watched to the end credits. It looks like the story was written by two people or drafted by two people, whatever that, you know, when it says like story by, script by. And then I think there was six names credited to the script.
Usually not a good sign.
No, because that's rewrites, you know. Brutal. So how do you review a movie that...
It doesn't sound very good.
Well, like
it's, I mean, it's, you know,
because the dilemma I'm in, I try to reserve my skip-its for like pretty bad movies. I think you would agree. I think I'm pretty conservative with my skip-its. I think normally at the end of the year, I have more stream-its than anything else, kind of middle of the line, right?
Middle
and it's bit, also relatively early in the year.
We haven't had a see it yet, by the way.
Well,
in
2024, that checks
we haven't
out.
Had to see it yet.
That checks
I,
out.
I looked it up today.
So what the dilemma I'm in is I thought Roadhouse was bad and I said that was a skip it.
Yeah.
And now it's like, okay, well, virtue
you gotta give
of that.
This one a skip it,
yeah. By virtue of the fact that Roadhouse is a quote unquote better movie than Ricky Stenicki. It's a skip it. But for people who maybe like John Cena, right? Or people who like really stupid comedy, this might be an airplane it for them. Like you have literally nothing. You're on a flight to Berlin. You have nothing to watch. Yeah. You have I think it's a 6 or 7 hour flight. This will chew up 2 hours of it. But and I think it was 2 hours, Mike, which is fairly long for for a comedy.
Yeah.
Just brutal. This is exactly what you're saying, Mike. This is what people striked for. Ricky Stenicki.
I was looking that up that in 2024 in our 2024 like highlights on Instagram, we haven't had one see it yet.
Brutal.
Now, to be fair, last year we didn't have a see it till April, so maybe that's just the trend of things. But I mean, we're in the middle of April now, and we still haven't had a see it. So.
We're entering, I believe, if we were to think of the year in quarters, I think we're in quarter two.
Two.
So there was not a single seed in quarter one. So to be fair, also, Mike, we were catching up on 2023 movies in January, and
there
wasn't a
lot.
So we didn't
see as much. Yeah,
there's not
but
a
I
lot
felt like
see.
I felt like we saw the movies that were being talked about.
True. Yeah. So kind of brutal, kind of dismal, kind of depressing. We'll see what next week brings. But Ricky Stenicki, what a name too. Ricky Stenicki. I bet it took six people to come up with that name.
Probably. There you have it. That's our episode this week. Thank you so much to everybody for listening.
Go see some movies.